chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are rest make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off this this first hour with Dr. Tenpenny. And she's interviewed by Alex, and she was really and has been a stand-up doctor concerning the virus and the vaccines. And she really tells it like it is. So here we go with what she has to say. And then, of course, we'll expand that with some other interviews. Joni's Table Talk had McCullough and a bunch of Bartlett and a bunch of other people citing a Swedish survey and research, a report just recently. So here we go with Tenpenny, Dr. Tenpenny. What a stand-up lady.
What are they trying to hide that they wanted to bury for 75 years, which is all the people that are alive and doing the CEOs and doing the bench researchers and all these things now would be dead and it would be into the next generation. So they wanted to literally bury the data so that we would not know of all these horrifying things that were going to be happening. The infertility, the cardiac problems, the autoimmune diseases, the long list of autoimmune diseases, the long list of cancers in every organ system of the body. This is full out war on the human race, on the human race. And yes, the churches, like you said in your last segment, which is one of the things I talk about a lot when I'm out doing my public talks, is how involved we need to be fighting the spiritual battle here, and the churches really do need to step it up and get involved.
It's not about credit, but it's about results. And of the Dr. Merkullas and McCullas and countless other great men and women that have stood up to the evil of the genetic, biological, chemical attack through these shots, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I've been interviewing more than 20 years. And she's here with us now to talk about the latest developments. A medical doctor who saw the problems in her own patients, who successfully and accurately predicted 2.5 years ago on this show what is now confirmed. All the insurance actuaries, the Wall Street Journal, all of them. Oh, my God, record deaths in young people, record deaths 18 to 63. The vaccines aren't vaccines. They erase your immune system, and it's all hanging out there. But nothing is being done about it. And now they're coming back with more lockdowns and more forced shots and their next attack. So she joins us now, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, one of the country's most knowledgeable and outspoken physicians regarding the impact of vaccines on health. TenpennyIMC.com website, Vaxxer with two X's .com, Twitter, Busy Dr. T. And she joins us to talk about brain damage. We are now seeing from the shots, blood clots, the agenda, the history of money, gold, silver, and how to prepare for the next steps. DrTenpenny.com. Doctor, we salute you and we thank you. And we wish you weren't vindicated, but you certainly are in spades. You're here with us now. You've got the floor.
Thank you so much, Alex. And yes, it's been almost 23 years that we've been having these conversations about vaccines that then rolled over into the pandemic and then, of course, the COVID injections and jabs, which are not vaccines. And you're right. It's not a good feeling to know that everything that I said back in March of 2020 in terms of the pandemic, in terms of the masks, the myth of the mask, the nonsense of the social distancing, the fraud of the PCR test, and all of the stuff and the 40 mechanisms of injury of how these shots can make you sick or kill you. And I said that somewhere between March of 2020 and March of 21, that the tsunami of deaths that would be coming, the tsunami of injuries. And I just heard your segment about the churches, and hopefully the churches will not fail us as miserably the second time around when we see the tsunami of regrets and remorse and of sadness when all these people are dying, and that the church will be there and we'll see the greatest revival ever. Because what we're now seeing in terms of brain injury from these shots is just irrefutable. I mean, what is actually causing something called tauopathies? It's there's two substacks that I wrote about it. My substacks are Eye on the Evidence at substack.com. And are your friends and family members brain damaged by something that is destroying what's called alpha syncytia, which turns into Lewy body dementia and Parkinson's disease anywhere 3 to 10 years out from when this is happening? So any of the people that say, I got the shot and I'm just fine, they've got to be looking over their shoulder for years in terms of neuropathic problems, dementias, and other types of things that will be going on with their brain and their immune system. When I wrote the article, I wrote a second article on Substack that was called, I got the shot and I'm just fine, because I'm sure that could resonate too with thousands, if not millions, of your listeners, that they hear that from their friends and family members. But the problem is that the blood-brain barrier is being broken by these spike proteins that are manufactured by these shots, and also by the chemicals that are inside of the shots, the polyethylene glycol, the graphene oxide, and the heaven only knows what else is in there of those shots, and I say that in air quotes, that is damaging the blood-brain barrier. And the blood-brain barrier is now called the neurovascular unit. And it's the blood that surrounds the brain and incorporates the spinal cord. And what they're actually saying is that this is actually going to be causing, and let me read this to you, it's the dysfunction of the blood-brain barrier is rapidly expanding and can cause numerous pathological conditions such as ischemic strokes, infections, epilepsy, tumors, resistant epilepsy, neuroinflammatory diseases called tauopathies. The breakdown of the blood-brain barrier is an early independent biomarker of human cognitive decline.
So let me interrupt you. I'm not a medical doctor like you are that predicted all this.
One sentence, Alex.
Go ahead.
Tau proteins have been found in 40 to 50% of people with the blood-brain barrier that's been destroyed. So we can document this by blood tests.
No, start over. I didn't mean to interrupt you. My point is, I read the headlines. Blood clots at record level. Oh, the soft drinks are making it happen. This is having it happen. They admit all this death is happening, and they're trying to act like it's not the shot. So recap what you were saying. I just wanted to inject that.
Yeah, and now I read one yesterday that they're trying to blame coffee. Coffee, yeah, as being the reason for blood clots, that, you know, we know that that's simply not true. And I think that a lot of these things with monkeypox and with these hemorrhagic fevers, they want to like start the fear machine mongering again so that everybody will lock down and wear a mask and do all the stupid stuff with putting Q-tips up their nose. And all that's doing is covering up the side effects. We know that Pfizer had documented more than 1,100 diseases, disorders, and types of problems that were going to be caused by these Pfizer shots, and they knew about it before they even released them.
Exactly. And so now I interrupted you and messed up what you were saying earlier. Recap that, because that's important, and continue on.
Just the fact that the disruption of the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier is the endothelial cells that are really super tightly joined together, that they really regulate what is allowed into the brain. The spike proteins and the chemicals in these shots are breaking down the blood-brain barrier. And as that gets broken, we can actually measure something called tau proteins, spelled T-A-U, tau proteins in the blood as an acute independent marker of cognitive dysfunction. So these people that you're seeing that can't talk, can't finish sentences, are really grasping for different types of things that they didn't do before. And when I wrote the article, I got the shot and I'm just fine, and I wrote the other article, are your friends and family members brain damaged by the shots? I meant it. I really meant it, that this is actually happening. And this is just one element of the neurocognitive decline. The other is the cardiovascular markers and what we're seeing with myocarditis. I wrote another article on my Substack about myocarditis. And all of these things are happening. And, Alex, these are just two of 1,100 different things.
And we go back to October of 2020. The CDC's own documents said this would happen. So they knew, Dr. Timpenny.
They did. They've known it from the beginning. And, you know, the judge that has told them to release 55,000 documents per month, and so far I believe it's only been about 1,200, they are really, what are they trying to hide? That they wanted to bury for 75 years, which is all the people that are alive and doing the, and the CEOs and doing the bench researchers and all these things now would be dead and it would be into the next generation. So they wanted to literally bury the data so that we would not know of all these horrifying things that were going to be happening. The infertility, the cardiac problems, the autoimmune diseases, the long list of autoimmune diseases, the long list of cancers in every organ system of the body. This is full out war on the human race. On the human race. And yes, the churches, like you said in your last segment, which is one of the things I talk about a lot when I'm out doing my public talks, is how involved this, we need to be fighting the spiritual battle here, and the churches really do need to step it up and get involved.
Wow. You got so much to cover in the next hour. What do you want to get into next when we come back?
I think that we'll just talk about this a little bit more, about the different types of things, symptoms that people may be having, and that they need to, we need to talk about the cognitive dissonance. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about our summer camp, the summer boot camp that we're doing starting right now.
All right. Dr. Shira Tenpenny is our guest. You got a lot of great websites. What's the best one for folks to visit?
DrTenpenny.com is where you can find most everything that's linked through DrTenpenny.com.
All right. DrTenpenny.com. Excellent site. Incredible information. The insurance actuaries, all the numbers are out, mass death, record death. They are literally killing us and trying to normalize it, but we're not going to let them do it. Let me go, well, they ended the lockdowns. They've got those coming back as well. We'll talk about it straight ahead. Please don't forget, band.video. Once this live show's over, we'll archive this Dr. Shira Tenpenny interview. She's one of the biggest guests we have on, millions of views. Share it. Wake people up. Warn people. This archived interview, this live right now, will be posted at band.video. Whatever you do, continue to spread the word about Infowars.com and Newswars.com and Infowars.com/show. We'll be right back.
Tell us a little bit about the study that just came out of Sweden that is just so alarming.
The news is buzzing out of Lund University, Malmo, Sweden. Marcus Alden is the first author. The first demonstration in a human hepatic or liver cell line that the Pfizer vaccine, in fact, reverse transcribes and installs DNA into the human genome.
Wow. And so in simple terms, what does that mean, Dr. Bartlett?
Thank you for making it simple. So basically, there's an enzyme that can take that messenger RNA vaccine information and put it into the DNA of the person, into their DNA. Mm. And we were told that could not happen. So this is in a lab, but it's showing
really?
That the you remember the vaccine is messenger RNA.
Yeah.
And we were told that that messenger RNA could not go into your DNA, but this is showing that in a lab it can.
And so what happens when it does, Dr. Gold?
Well, can I answer slightly different than your question?
Yeah.
So one of the fun things about the last couple of years being a doctor and lawyer is this is a very interesting opportunity, and I think we're going to be bringing another lawsuit because there's actually federal law that you cannot discriminate against people for genetic discriminations. I forgot the acronym. I think it's a gene, and G-I-N-A.
Gina.
Gina, right? So this now opens the door to saying that if you're not allowing somebody in who chose not to get the shot, that you're actually engaging in genetic discrimination. So I think there's Sweden study, I think, opens the door to a new type of lawsuit.
If you're pregnant and you have this done, can that then affect your baby?
Yes. See, this is the alarming finding. The CDC says on its website very explicitly, this will not change your DNA. The paper that came out of Sweden. Now, there'll be many more to confirm it. And the steps are to, A, confirm it, to confirm that the entire code is installed, and then to actually confirm that it's expressed, meaning that the spike protein now is continuously expressed from human cells. But because the lipid nanoparticles are taken up everywhere, that means somatic cells in your organs, but also your gametocytes, actually the cells that actually are the sperm and the egg, if they are carrying it, that indeed means that, in fact, it could be passed to the daughter cells. And
so that could be open up for birth defects. And
yes.
And
this is all part of a depopulation plan, and it's all coming out now. Dr. Shira Tenpenny is our guest. What do you make of that incredible new study that came out? I know 2 years ago you warned on this show it could get into your DNA. Now it's being confirmed. Where is this going?
Well, it's interesting, Alex, because when I wrote the 20 Mechanisms of Injury ebook and then did the webinar on that, it was in May of 2021, and poor planning on my part, we did that on a Mother's Day weekend, and we had a lot of requests to redo it. So we rescheduled it for July, and between May of 21 and July of 21, I found 20 more mechanisms of injury of how the COVID shots can make you sick or kill you. So 40 altogether, two completely different ebooks. They're both available at drtenpenny.com, and they're all hyperlinked. That shows that shows exactly what these things are doing. And it's so interesting because every week now there seems to be more articles that are coming out confirming everything that I had put out from the mainstream peer-reviewed literature way back in May of 21, that nobody was reading it, nobody was paying attention to it, nobody wanted to hear it because it causes such great cognitive dissonance, sort of like this fabricated thing they've come up with now called SADS, S-A-D-S, sudden adult distress syndrome, that people are just suddenly dropping over dead. You know, that they're just, you know, suddenly dropping over dead, completely healthy people. And they don't want to admit that it was the shot. In fact, one of the articles I read said doctors are completely perplexed at why these sudden adult death syndromes, why these people are just dropping over dead. And it's like they're perplexed because they don't want to connect the dots. And they don't want to connect the dots, in my opinion, for two very important reasons. One is the fact that most doctors are double jabbed and boosted. So they're wondering if they are going to be the next one with the sudden adult death syndrome where they're going to drop over dead. The other one is knowing how many patients in their practices that they have seen on Monday, they seem to be just fine. They got a shot. And then on Thursday, they are suddenly dead. And some doctors that I believe are still good people that are still thinking and still have some level of consciousness about this are wondering if they are complicit in the murder of their patients. I have a new employee that I hired that left her job because she said, I saw my doctor that I was working for murder 81 of my patients, and I couldn't stand it another minute. I could no longer participate and be part of it. And she's one of, I'm sure, thousands of nurses and nurse practitioners and physician's assistants across the country that are coming to the becoming cognizant about the fact that this is happening. Yes, exactly.
So big 35,000-foot view, their program, their operation, what was their plan? How is it going for them? It seems like as bad as it is, people are waking up. It seems to me like their plan is blown up in their face, even though it's caused a lot of carnage.
Coming up next is a table talk, Joni's table talk. And Owen Stroyer picked this up. And it's a table talk of several physicians that have been outstanding in this virus and this vaccine, you know, describing what's really going on. And McCullough starts off the conversation with a Swedish study. And we're going to have that Swedish study on our site. So come into thesecrettruth.com, secrettruth.com, and you'll be able to download that study and see exactly word for word what the study says. And it is an in vitro study. So that must be enumerated here in this discussion. So here we go with this Joni tabletop discussion with McCullough and so forth.
So Dr. Peter McCullough is one of the leading doctors in pushing back against the COVID-19 vaccine lies, against the COVID-19 lies. And he's really just done a great job continuing to be so eloquent, bringing forth the information that destroys the very lies that propped up COVID-19 and the vaccine. And it's everything we were afraid it was, folks. And so here's the latest from Dr. Peter McCullough dealing with the COVID-19 vaccine.
Tell us a little bit about the study that just came out of Sweden that is just so alarming.
The news is buzzing out of Lund University, Malmo, Sweden. Marcus Alden is the first author. The first demonstration in a human hepatic or liver cell line that the Pfizer vaccine, in fact, reverse transcribes and installs DNA into the human genome.
Wow. And so in simple terms, what does that mean, Dr. Bartlett?
Thank you for making it simple. So basically, there's an enzyme that can take that messenger RNA
vaccine information and put it into the DNA of the person, into their DNA. Mm. And we were told that could not happen. So this is in a lab, but it's showing
really?
That the you remember the vaccine is messenger RNA.
Yeah.
And we were told that that messenger RNA could not go into your DNA, but this is showing that in a lab it can.
And so what happens when it does, Dr. Gold?
Well, can I answer slightly different than your question?
Yeah.
So one of the fun things about the last couple of years being a doctor and lawyer is this is a very interesting opportunity, and I think we're going to be bringing another lawsuit because there's actually federal law that you cannot discriminate against people for genetic discriminations. I forgot the acronym. I think it's GINA, G-I-N-A.
GINA,
right? So this now opens the door to saying that if you're not allowing somebody in who chose not to get the shot, that you're actually engaging in genetic discrimination. So I think there's Sweden study, I think, opens the door to a new type of lawsuit.
If you're pregnant and you have this done, can that then affect your baby?
Yes. This is an alarming finding. The CDC says on its website very explicitly, this will not change your DNA. The paper that came out of Sweden. Now, there'll be many more to confirm it. And the steps are to, A, confirm it, to confirm that the entire code is installed, and then to actually confirm that it's expressed, meaning that the spike protein now is continuously expressed from human cells. But because the lipid nanoparticles are taken up everywhere, that means somatic cells in your organs, but also your gametocytes, actually the cells that actually are the sperm and the egg, if they are carrying it, that indeed means that, in fact, it could be passed to the daughter cells.
Open up for birth defects.
So that is a small clip from a segment from Table Talk with Joni is the name of the show. You had Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Richard Bartlett, and Dr. Simone Gold there in that clip. You know, that's what, if we had a sane country and we actually wanted to have TV shows that were not just propaganda, that's what The View would be like. That's what The View should be like every day. It should be Table Talk with Joni. They should just scrap the whole crew on The View. That mess, that pile of trash. Might need a dumpster, considering the personalities on there. So a whole dump truck, even. So you could have people actually getting informed with real information that's not propaganda with a show like that that runs nationwide during daytime television. But no, they want to propagandize those people watching at home. They want to propagandize the people watching The View. They want to indoctrinate them. They want to make them hate.
So the medical profession is being discredited. They are being intimidated into taking a stand and putting forth their recommendations for the vaccine. And the vaccines are a cause of many of the problems and illnesses. And the amyloidosis is just one of many things that it's causing. So here we go with Tucker Carlson and Macri, Dr. Macri, and he's saying that, hey, the medical profession is losing their credibility. And he also makes statements about the intimidation that's occurring on many levels. Here we go with this interview.
2 years, it's depressing to think about it. And the instinct is just to move on. But unfortunately, we don't have that luxury, and for two reasons. First, politicians are continuing to use the virus as a pretext to force their agendas on an unwilling and weary population. That's happening still, believe it or not. And second, and maybe more significantly long-term, somebody's got to rescue science from the ideologues who all of a sudden have taken it over. Science must be objective. Science must be honest. Otherwise, everything falls apart. So with that in mind, this story. In April of last year, researchers at the CDC concluded a months-long study of thousands of healthcare workers. They included first responders, nurses, physicians. The point of the study was to assess whether the COVID vaccine was working. Researchers split the healthcare workers into two groups, vaccinated and unvaccinated, and then they watched. What they found was so significant that the head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, went directly to MSNBC to tell the world what researchers had found. And here's what she said. This is word for word. Quote, our data from the CDC today suggests that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick. And that's not just in clinical trials, but also in real-world data. Now, that turned out not simply to be untrue, but in some sense to be the opposite of the truth. In some cases, the vaccinated are more likely to get variants of COVID. the death rates around the world for the vaccinated are extraordinarily high. But at the time, anyone who had doubts about what Rochelle Walensky said was told to shut up. Those who questioned her out loud were kicked off social media. If you kept questioning, you might be fired from your job. Doubting Rochelle Walensky's promises, doubting the Biden administration's claims about the COVID vaccine, was totally unacceptable. It was like questioning their views on herd immunity or mandatory masking for children or airline passengers or closing the schools. Now that we know that virtually everything they said about COVID was wrong, however, no one has admitted it and no one has been punished. No one at the CDC was fired for this. In fact, they were elevated. Under Joe Biden, the people who made these claims, these false claims, have even more power than ever. Rochelle Walensky is back on television. She's demanding that parents force their children as young as 6 months old to take the COVID shot. They're all saying this. Tony Fauci, Joe Biden, too. Watch.
I know many parents with very young children have been anticipating this day. Parents, I strongly encourage you to get your children vaccinated.
They do get infected and they do pass the infection. So we would hope that family members who are responsible for the children will realize that and will be enthusiastic about getting their children vaccinated.
And finally, COVID-19 vaccinations for children over 5 years of age. Finally, some peace of mind.
Amazingly, despite all of their demonstrated failures, all of their documented dishonesty, those three people are still, as of tonight, in charge of this country's response to COVID. It's remarkable, if you think about it. So parents thinking about how to treat their own children are in a very tough position. One of the COVID shots that Walensky and Fauci and Biden are telling you to give your small kids is manufactured by Moderna. Now, you might recall that Moderna's COVID vaccine for adults was suspended from use in several countries after researchers found that it caused potentially very dangerous heart inflammation in young people. The other COVID vaccine that's been approved for toddlers in the United States is made by Pfizer. Pfizer's vaccine for adults has also been linked to heart damage, to myocarditis in young people. So a lot of parents are wondering, should we give this to our toddler? How do we find the answer? Virtually every news show in America seems to be sponsored by Pfizer, so clearly turning on television is not going to give you an answer you can trust. You need to find an independent, science-minded researcher or physician who's looked at the actual data. And there are very few who've done that and are willing to be honest about it. Marty McCary of Johns Hopkins University is one of them. He's just written a remarkable piece in Barry Weiss's Substack, and he wrote it with epidemiologist Tracy Hoag. McCary and Hoag found that Pfizer and Moderna provided, and we're quoting, extremely weak, inconclusive data to justify vaccinating children as young as 6 months in the United States. Quote, using a three-dose vaccine in 992 children between the ages of 6 months and 5 years, Pfizer found no statistically significant evidence of vaccine efficacy, they wrote. In the subgroup of children aged 6 months to 2 years, the trial found that the vaccine could result in a 99% lower chance of infection, but that they also have a 370% increased chance of being infected. What does that mean? We have no idea. We don't know how you would know because those data are completely incoherent. They do not present a picture that suggests a path forward. They're inherently confusing. Meanwhile, Moderna, quote, claimed a very weak vaccine efficacy of just 4% in children aged 6 months to 2 years. That is not a statistically significant result either. So based on those numbers, and apparently those are the underlying numbers, how could the Biden administration, how could the people who run public health in the United States of America push for the immediate vaccination of children over the ages of 6 months? We need to assess what exactly these data are and why public health agencies seem to be ignoring them. Marty McCary, as we told you, is a professor of public health at Johns Hopkins University. He wrote the piece we just referred to, and we're honored to have him on tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on. Thank you for taking a look at the numbers behind this. Unless we just mischaracterize them, they don't sound like the basis for a recommendation for universal toddler vaccination.
That's exactly right, Tucker. It wouldn't even get published in a medical journal with peer review. It wouldn't go through the process. It would get rejected. Now, doctors everywhere in the world, even in the government, should always be free to speak up about their public health concerns. That is a sacred right that we have to guard. But right now, in the government, recently, and this is a trend in the last year, Doctors are muzzled. I've talked to many doctors for this piece at NIH and CDC who are extremely frustrated. They're smart people. They know that a vaccine efficacy of 4% doesn't warrant an authorization. They also know that there's no health emergency right now among kids 6 months of age. So I learned a lot. They know the underlying data. They know it's inappropriate. They're not allowed to speak to anyone. If a reporter calls, the communications office has to approve the conversation. And if they want to ask the scientist whether or not they want to do this, they'll say, tell us what you're going to tell the reporter, and then we'll decide whether or not to approve it. At the CDC, a bunch of scientists actually said, look, we recognize the insanity of mass testing, trying to chase down every case of the virus in the United States. It's ubiquitous now. It's not contained. So they came up with a plan to use sampling data like we do with influenza every year and to get better numbers from the hospital of those truly in there for COVID, not just everybody with incidental COVID tests. And that plan was proposed and it was rejected, and they say it was rejected by the White House. And over in the different agencies, I heard from smart people who were just extremely frustrated that not only are they bypassing the normal scientific process, but they really can't say anything, because if they do, they know that their jobs are at risk and they'll be treated very differently. One person even said, there's no transparency as to how Dr. Fauci makes his decisions. He doesn't even consult with the real experts. And other people have said other things, like it's demoralizing. That one person at the FDA, even who knows the data really well, said that they feel that they're watching a horror show and they can't close their eyes. They're being forced to watch this. If public health wants to restore some credibility, and there's good people in public health, they've been sidelined, the leaders have to have more humility, less absolutism, more answers like we don't know when that's the right answer, and less paternalism. That's the only way we're going to rebuild trust in the medical profession and in public health.
This is what we're beginning to hear, is all kinds of intimidation. In fact, one nurse told me back 6 months ago that ivermectin was a poison. Don't take that ivermectin, I was told. It's a poison. It's a poison. So, this is getting a little bit outlandish now. So anyway, we've got John Brown Bound coming up here with a really, generalized information. And then we're going to end with some January 6th by Revolver, by Dan Beatty, talking to Alex about the January 6th. But we'll end that towards the end of the show. But right now, we're going to be putting up what John Bound has to say.
American Providence is careening off the rails as it is diverted by a spineless tax money pit salesman from California known as Adam Schiff.
You might think it's okay that the president is reported to have helped dictate that lie. You might think that's okay. I don't.
As the Washington Times reported, Representative Adam Schiff wants a defense policy bill to include language blocking Congress from oversight of the military and National Guard in some cases of domestic deployment. The exemption from congressional oversight is narrowly focused on the domestic deployment of troops, but Mr. Schiff's free pass for the Pentagon could impact a range of oversight from border security to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol.
The U.S. military is not allowed to be involved in any way, even in the most minor way, involved in domestic politics. So this suggests the U.S. military under Joe Biden is involved in domestic politics.
Well, we also know, Tucker, from reporting by Newsweek that said that military assets were involved in January 6th, even leading up to the events of January 6th. What was the military doing? And we know that the military was fully hostile to Donald Trump. His own military leaders, including Mark Milley, were completely hostile to the president at that point.
Ray Epps, guests, not Jacob Chansley or Joe Biggs, should be the poster boy for the supposed insurrection on January 6th. As Revolver News reported, Ray Epps has turned out to be perhaps the only person nailed dead to rights confessing on camera to plotting a pre-planned attack on the Capitol on both January 5th and January 6th. Epps announced multiple times at multiple locations his upcoming plot to breach the U.S. Capitol.
We need to go into the Capitol! Into the Capitol!
What?
No! No! Peacefully! Fed!
Tomorrow, he then spent hours attempting to recruit hundreds of others to join him. On top of it all, Epps was seen leading key people and managing key aspects of the initial breach of the Capitol grounds himself.
It's that direction. Please spread the word.
All right, no, Dave, but one more thing.
Yes, so can we go up there? No?
When we go in.
Are we going to get arrested if we go up there?
Yeah, you don't need to get shot.
Can you arrest us all?
During the fog of war of the events following January 6th, Ray Epps and the actors surrounding him were hunted by the FBI and the New York Times. Now Epps isn't even mentioned during Schiff's January 6th committee hearings, and now the New York Times has painted Epps as a victim of conspiracy theory, creating its own conspiracy theory.
The piece describes Ray Epps as a disappointed Trump supporter. Well, here's the only thing. Ray Epps, as far as we know, did not go to the speech. Here is the alleged Trump supporter, Ray Epps, who traveled all the way from Arizona to Washington, D.C., and doesn't even attend the speech.
Meanwhile, 69-year-old grandmother Pam Hemphill from Idaho, who suffers from breast cancer and has no criminal history, just began her 60-day sentence.
Mom, what do you have to say to the American people as your last words before you go in?
Keep your faith that no matter what's going on in your life, God's with us no matter what's happening to us. Do what's right and help make this country better again.
Your government wants you to know it hates you as they cover up further evidence. According to The Intercept, the Secret Service erased text messages from January 5th and January 6th, 2021, though the Secret Service maintains that the text messages were lost as a result of a device replacement program. The letter to The Intercept says the erasure took place shortly after oversight officials requested the agency's electronic communications. The United States wasn't forged by bug-eyed corporate prostitutes. The revolutionary fortitude of the invigorating human spirit imbued in the Declaration of Independence are alien concepts to those who would twist the very character of our nation to fulfill the half-baked whims of their foreign globalist masters and their dwindling party. John Bound reporting.
Our final section here will be with Dan Beatty. We're from Revolver, and we'll have his click off on our site, thesecrettruth.com. So come in there and click off on that, and you'll be able to see the whole interview also. We'll embed that in there because it is an excellent interview. But anyway, it's about 10, 11 minutes long, and he talks about January 6th and the apologetic piece that was done, a puff piece on Ray Epps. And he gets into that real well. So here we go with this interview. So, boy, this is great stuff.
First of all, I think it's really important to appreciate, just let it sink in, of all of the January 6th riot participants, there's a single one about whom the New York Times decided to write a sympathetic piece, not just a sympathetic piece, but a puff piece. And that's Ray Epps, the singular person caught repeatedly since January 5th, the evening before, urging people to go into the Capitol, and who was there the next day directing people to the Capitol. and who was right there at the initial breach point. That is the person that the New York Times decides to write a puff piece about. And that's alone pretty shocking. But I want to get into the details of the actual piece so everyone can understand what an egregious mop-up job this is. There's journalism and there's being a janitor. There are journalists and janitors who mop up dirty deeds of the federal government. And this is a janitorial exercise, the likes of which I didn't even think the New York Times was capable.
Look, I know that everybody tuned into this show knows that January 6th was a provocateur event to make our peaceful protests look bad, and you're sick of hearing about it. But the Democrats are betting everything they've got on it and trying to outlaw their political opposition. So we've got our guest on for just a little while, then we're going to be going to your phone calls and covering all the other big news here today on the Alex Jones Show. As mainline institutions, universities, you name it, say women are not women. What's really behind that? As the president of the National Women's Law Center won't define what a woman is. But I wanted to hit this news because we played the clips 1,000 times. We're not going to play it again. Probably haven't played it 500 times. Ray Epps is running around the day before January 6th and on January 6th saying, go into the Capitol, right when the breach happens. Our own Owen Schroyer has been charged and is facing years in prison for being with me peaceful at the Capitol trying to stop it. So how is Owen Schroyer charged facing prison time, but Ray Epps is running around doing this? Well, the New York Times had a big piece yesterday about how he's a victim of conspiracy theory, and they never quote him or never show what he actually said or did. What's behind that? Meanwhile, ex-Trump spokesperson said the former president liked the crazies, one of Alex Jones, Ellie Alexander, and January 6th speakers, despite red flags she raised. So this is what they're having in this kangaroo committee. So I'm sick of it. You're sick of it. But there's something big behind it. And Dr. Darren Beatty is a former professor of political science, a Trump advisor, and he is here to lay this out. Why is January 6th so important to them? What's coming next? And what do you make of the historic show trials that would make Joseph McCarthy blush?
Well, those are all very important questions. I'd like to start by addressing the New York Times piece. And first of all, I think it's really important to appreciate, just let it sink in. Of all of the January 6th riot participants, there's a single one about whom the New York Times decided to write a sympathetic piece, not just a sympathetic piece, but a puff piece. And that's Ray Epps. The singular person caught repeatedly since January 5th, the evening before, urging people to go into the Capitol, and who was there the next day directing people to the Capitol, and who was right there at the initial breach point. That is the person that the New York Times decides to write a puff piece about. And that's alone pretty shocking. But I want to get into the details of the actual piece so everyone can understand what an egregious mop-up job this is. There's journalism and there's being a janitor. There are journalists and janitors who mop up dirty deeds of the federal government. And this is a janitorial exercise, the likes of which I didn't even think the New York Times was capable. So first of all, the sympathy is amazing. Oh, life has been hell. Poor Ray Epps. Life has been hell. He's been, you know, he's getting bad press. People are criticizing him and so forth. Well, what about Michael Perna, who committed suicide in prison? What about all the guys? Of everyone, they decide to cover Ray Epps' sob story, and he's not even in prison. It's pretty amazing. Couple things. This is a rehabilitation piece for Ray Epps, and yet in the entire piece, one cannot find a single explicit denial on the part of Epps of any association with military intelligence, Department of Homeland Security, Joint Terrorism Task Force, or other cutout or intermediary groups thereof. In fact, the only thing we really see is references generally to lies, Epps' desire that the truth come out, And the author, Alan Foyer, referencing Ray Epps's statement to the committee, alleged statement to the committee from a lawyer, that he was not involved with any law enforcement agency. Emphasis on law enforcement. All of the organizations I just described, intel organizations, Department of Homeland Security, Joint Terrorism Task Force, military intelligence, none of that is law enforcement. So why the weird, explicit mention of law enforcement, and why not just a blanket denial? Did the author of this piece, who got unique access to Ray Epps to do this interview, did he ask for a denial? And if he did, what happened? And if not, why didn't he ask? We don't know this at the time. It's not reflected in the piece. Secondly, the piece describes Ray Epps as a disappointed Trump supporter. He's a disappointed Trump supporter. He, along with one of his sons, just did a last-minute trip to the Capitol to support Trump and to go listen to Trump's speech. Well, here's the only thing. Ray Epps, as far as we know, did not go to the speech. Here is the alleged Trump supporter, Ray Epps, who traveled all the way from Arizona to Washington, D.C., and doesn't even attend the speech. Certainly not the full speech, and instead he uses his time to advance this bizarre mission to go into the Capitol beginning the night before January 6th itself. Does Alan Foyer, the author of the piece who describes Ray Epps as a Trump supporter who is going there to listen to Trump's speech, ask, well, if you're going there to listen to the speech, why did you not attend it? Did you attend it? Did you attend the full thing? As far as we're aware, the author of the janitorial exercise, the janitor, does not ask these questions. Most importantly, how did Ray Epps get the idea to go into the Capitol in the first place? Isn't that kind of weird? He's the only person in that iconic video saying we need to go into the Capitol who has remotely thought of this idea. Everyone else thinks it's shocking, scandalous, ridiculous, and they were so immediately put off by it that the immediate response was to call him a Fed. And so where did Ray Epps get this idea? Did it come out of nowhere? Where did it come from? And why was he so doggedly insistent on pursuing it despite the radically low buying temperature of the crowd around him? That's a very important question.
That's right. They're yelling at him the night before and the day, calling him a Fed. And so Owen Troyer's charged with being outside the Capitol, trying to stop people going in. But Ray Epps says, go in the Capitol, and all these videos. He's a dear little angel.
Right. Alex, just one more thing. So Alan Foyer had access to Ray Epps. He was interviewing him. Did he think to ask Epps, where did you get the idea to go into the Capitol? That would seem to be a fundamental question to ask, so fundamental that to not ask it amounts to a commission of profound journalistic malpractice. Did Alan Foyer ask this? Well, if he did, it's not reflected in the piece at all. And finally, and here's a big whopper for you, Alex, is that this guy, Ray Epps, his behavior was so egregious that he was immediately a target of the sedition hunter sort of left-wing investigative sort of semi-vigilante organization. His behavior was so egregious that he was listed as one of the first 20 people on the January 6th FBI Most Wanted list. And his behavior was so egregious, this will shock you. His behavior was so egregious that in the New York Times' own video documentary on January 6th, explosively titled Day of Rage, Ray Epps is depicted and referred to as one of the rioters who had a plan to storm the Capitol all along. The New York Times' own video documentary on January 6th depicts Epps as someone
so the government has a Ray Epps. They have a Ray Epps problem. They're trying to rehabilitate him right now.
Right, but just like let this point sink in. Now we have the New York Times basically dismissing anyone who brings up questions about Epps as a ridiculous, baseless conspiracy theorist. When the New York Times itself, in its own video documentary on January 6th, depicts Ray Epps and refers to him through the narration as one of the rioters who knew about the plan and planned to storm the Capitol all along.
All right, Darren Meady, stay there, Doc. I want to come back and finish up on where this is going, because everybody's like, yeah, we know January 6th is staged. Why do we care? Well, they're basing their whole political takeover on January 6th. That's why it's important. And why are they having a front page article propping him up right now saying it's preposterous? That's why he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off saying go into the Capitol. It's just incredible. While so many people didn't even go into the Capitol and were trying to stop it, like Owen Schroyer, have now been charged.
Some of the latest things that have been discovered is amyloidosis. AMYLOID, and it seems to be a fiber that's associated with dementia and mad cow disease. But I would go in on some of the documents that were forced by that judge by Pfizer to be released on the amyloid word shows up 13 times in one of those documents, and a lot of other diseases also show up in there. So it's something to delve into. It's a form of mad cow disease in some cases, if it's prion or prion disease. But also it looks like it's being collected up in our bodies in the form of fibers. And we don't know yet what the treatment is. On a slow moving case of this, there is treatment, but it seems to be these diseases set off by the vaccines and the viruses of this COVID seem to be racing ahead at an abnormal rate. And Dr. Blaylock, on an interview recently with Tenpenny, was stating that cancers that he's seen that are associated with the vaccines or the virus and are really progressing at a rate that he's never, ever seen before. And so that is something to consider. But to our listening audience out there, look up the word amyloid, and then dosis is the ailment. But the amyloid word, A-M-Y-L-O-I-D, describes these white, off-color white fibers that are a result of misfolding of protein. And I'm not giving medical advice. This is purely for educational purposes. You can go in to my Twitter account, Secret Truth Show, and there's an excellent article written in Epoch, and it just came out, and I've got it up there on Secret Truth Show. So go in there and click on that and read that article, and this will explain in detail what is going on, more detail than I can provide you. And I'm not a medical doctor, even though we've had MDs and med techs in my family. I am not a medical doctor, so I don't mean to provide or even insinuate that this is any medical advice, but I would be very careful about taking any vaccines and any viruses. And if you're not sick, it's getting more and more. There is a consensus that has been developing since this COVID crisis started, and many doctors today and many nurses, I stood up with the nurses down in Houston that were actually protesting against being forced to take the vaccine shot. Many of the nurses that were their fellow workers had been administered those shots and had dire consequences as a result. So my stand on this is not to take the virus, vaccine whatsoever. That's my own opinion. So, you know, you can make that decision yourself. But many of these doctors now are being intimidated. And Dr. Markey that testified on Tucker Carlson's program just this week, you know, he says that that the credibility of the medical profession is undergoing a dramatic change, I think is the way he put it. And many of these doctors did not get clued in early enough, and then they defaulted to the hospitals, and the hospitals were intimidating many of the doctors into forcing them to advise their patients on taking the vaccine. Well, many cases developed from the taking of the vaccine because now we know that there was misfolding that occurred from, you know, proteins involved in the body and so forth. And so we're seeing amyloidosis, and we're seeing sudden death disorders, just people just, you know, dying. Sudden adult death syndrome, I think they're calling it. And I think Tenpenny pointed that out. And also we're seeing people citing as cause of death either unknown or died in their sleep or whatever. And so we're not getting autopsies, and we're not getting the truth out of some of these undertakers. And it started about a year ago. There was an undertaker in UK that testified on a talk show. He talked about pulling these strands of this white stuff out of cadavers that he was trying to drain the blood out of, but they had trouble getting the blood out of the cadaver so they could prepare it for, you know, for burial, see? So, and what they started doing was saying, what are these white fibers? And they've actually tracked it back to the amyloid, you know, doses problem. And now they're saying that sometimes, just like, okay, let me give you an example. Last year, there were over 30,000 unruly passengers on commercial flights. Just so far this year, the first 6 months, there's been over 1,600. So this is running at the same rate. And they're saying, the authorities, the FAA is saying, that many of these had to do with mass confrontations. Okay? So are these unruly passengers? Did they take the vaccine? Is the vaccine causing cognitive problems? That's what some people are saying. There's other people that drive extensively in certain areas for a living, and they're just coming up on green lights with people just stopped right there at the green light, not moving. So they're saying that people are getting, are having cognitive and sort of blinking out and just sort of phasing out, you know what I mean? Mesmerizing out. And so this could be, hooked back to, this could be, if you connect the dots, this could go directly back to the treatment and the vaccine. But anyway, I wish everyone out there a very helpful and rewarding life. And the many of the things that were put forward by Zelenko and McCullough and all these other doctors had to do with hydroxychloroquine, had to do with ivermectin. No, ivermectin is not a poison. It saved many people's lives. And so, and those doctors and those health clinics that avoided using some of these things, boy, it was costly for their practice, because the credibility that they're going to lose is tremendous, because they've lost a tremendous amount of credibility in their practice because they did not use the things that were readily available. And all of these authorities and Biden and all these other people, Fauci and all of them, the CDC, now they're recommending these vaccines for young children. That's definitely a no-no in my book. I do not recommend that any young child ever receive these vaccines. These vaccines are unproven. They're experimental, and they should not be used by adults, children, or anyone. But anyway, I want to thank each and every one of you out there for listening to our broadcast on thesecrettruth.com. We wish every one of you get well. Go into the detox site for detox and spike protein that we have up. So go in there if you want to be detoxed. So here we go. Good night. God bless each and every one of you.